This is the Vanguard Academy board meeting. This is Tuesday, February 25th, 2019. 26th. Sorry, 26th. Yeah, very good. Let's go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll start with a roll call. This is Kent Johnson, board chair.
Scott Kingston, board member.
Grace Mitchell, treasurer.
Kathleen Kingston, assistant director.
Suzanne Owen, director.
Tony Jenkins, school counselor.
Darren Jenkins, board member.
David Kingston, vice chair.
Eric Freeman, board member.
Stephanie Evans, minute taker.
Okay, so the first item is open up for public comment. Is there any public comment? Doesn't look like there's anybody else here, so we'll go on to the next item to approve the minutes. We'll give you a few minutes to read them and approve last meeting's minutes.
Motion to approve them.
I'll second. So all in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, the minutes have been approved. The next item is the open points. How are we doing with including excellence at Vanguard?
Continuing to do more. Identifying teachers that are doing great things. We celebrated on-time performance, and we've got teacher evaluations coming up, and we're still doing our announcements with our kids. So,
or if there's a movie clip you could play at the start of school each morning that would portray excellence.
It's good.
Actually, one of our students came and wants to do a mind movie for the school. We came and put some input in ideas I'd like to put in.
I know Kathleen suggested something along the lines of a different one per grade level kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be good.
Sometimes rotating around instead of having the same thing over again. Different ideas. Five or six, seven, eight, ten. Rotating around.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I like the idea of the students creating them.
Mm-hmm. I like to start the morning with
that is actually one thing that I noticed this year that as far as excellence goes, we've been doing the pledge consistently in the morning. We have students get on, and I feel like it unifies the school. It doesn't matter if anybody in the offices, what they're doing, everybody stands up all at the same time and says the pledge, and I feel like it unifies the school. I've really appreciated that having that in our school this year.
Yeah, that sounds good. Any other comments? Let's move on. Next item is to incorporate the work release program. Is that
still open? Yeah, Catherine is working on it. It's not quite there yet. We have the April is scheduled to do our career day for fair.
Mm-hmm.
And she plans on having a booth there to help students get signed up for the work release and have it all set up for that.
Cool. Should we keep that open or do you want to?
Whatever you think. It's a work in progress, but it's not done yet.
Yes. Keep it open. Okay.
So when's our next deadline for being able to get that out of
date? Probably the career fair, which is in April. I'll talk to Catherine and see where she got on that. see how much she can get done at that point.
And that will, that's for getting the kids can get the credit for that.
Yeah, and I believe they can get it. It's still, there's a few things I need to clarify with her, but we can still get the credit, it's just not the CTE credit. But then there's only a limited amount that students can get. Right now, we actually have some students that half their day is scheduled with work experience, and we have to go in and change it because they can't have that many. Anyway, that's something we're still trying to understand the rules and everything.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they have to be approved before they start the recruiters program rather than after?
So we, all we need to have... For the students to get credit?
Or is it lined up where they can get credit for the recruiters program?
Right now, it's just an elective credit, not a CTE credit. But
so we're trying to get a CTE credit?
We are, mainly just because it's right now, in fact, even with the study hall and some of the other classes, students can only have, my understanding, Suzanne could probably explain this better, but students can only have so many classes of that type.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be considered full time. So I don't know if she can explain it better than that.
As far as work release?
Yeah.
Yeah. That from what Catherine was mentioning, then we're limited to the number that they can take to get the CTE work release credit that would generate some CTE funds as well as be count as that full time student status. Other than that, it's release time, and that does calculate or it plays a part in the average daily membership.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're released from school, they're not in school the full day, and so they're not counted as being there for a full day.
So it actually affects our funding?
Yep.
How much is... Do we know how much that's impacted?
It just goes in the calculation. To my understanding, I don't think it's split half and half, but a certain percentage of the funding is calculated based upon the number of students who are enrolled and are attending on October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So they take a head count, literally, and they say, okay, you got 460 kids in the building, that's what we're going to fund for this portion of the WPU. And
mm-hmm.
then we send attendance up to the state every day. And at the end of that school year, then it's calculated as average daily membership. So on average, how many students are attending school full time? And they use that to calculate the additional piece of that WPU. So
right.
If we have 390 kids attending full time, then that is what the other portion of WPU is calculated. So we could, depends. WPU right now is about 3,400 per student. Somewhere around 3,400 per student. So a portion of that is allocated according to October 1. The other portion is allocated according to the average daily membership. And they take the ADM, average daily membership, from the year previous and pay us according to that.
And that average daily membership goes through based on absences?
Mm-hmm.
And
absences, and then also if their full-time status versus
on their
release
schedule.
Class, it's not.
If they're on release time, work release, etc.
So our student population is about 450 if unless we're over-enrolled. Isn't it impossible to get an average daily membership of your total quantity of 450 unless you're over-enrolled? Unless everybody's there every class, every day. Don't schools have to over-enroll a little bit more to reach average daily membership?
Because, see, prior to last year, charter schools were not funded based upon average daily membership. It was all based
right.
on October 1. That's the reason the charter schools really went after the legislature and said, then let us over-enroll.
Right.
Because...
Did they address that? Or?
Well, they... tabled it last year at legislative session, the year before, because they tabled it, they did say basically in the interim we could over enroll by 3%. They haven't said anything different. When I asked last year, the answer was basically they fund you for what your charter is written. But in talking to other charters, then they do the
kids.
Yes.
Before 460.
463 and a half.
So get a short kid.
So any
or a part-time senior.
Yeah, part-time senior.
Any above that, you would just not be paid for.
They tell us not to enroll them because they have to pay for what's here. They count the heads on October 1. They do average daily membership, and they have to pay for what we have.
Okay.
And so then we could get in trouble, and if we are over-enrolled and they have to pay more because their budget is based upon what our enrollment is.
Right.
So.
Do we, have we done any calculations, or has it impacted us? Like how much funding have we lost because of?
I don't know. I actually asked Kathleen if we can get what was our average daily membership for last year, and where if there's a way we can calculate that for this year.
That's
where,
right.
Where are we currently? Because our attendance, in all honesty, is atrocious. It's awful.
So is that a number they give us, or do we give them?
We give them the data every day, because our teachers take attendance. It's input on PowerSchool. PowerSchool sends the data up every night.
Okay. So we should have access to that.
Yeah, we should be able to see it.
Mm-hmm. We got to get our score and see what it is.
Yeah.
What do you think you're at?
Well, again, this year we're funded based upon last year's attendance.
Okay.
So I would guess that we're probably around 430.
For last year's?
Probably.
So 20 below?
Probably.
On the 80?
That
just
might
on the average
be a
standard.
Little high.
If you're...
And again, I don't know if it's half and half. We need to do more research on that to see how they calculate that funding. I know in part it's each. I just don't know what percentage each of them carries.
Can we open, why don't we open that as a point? Just to see what our score was from last year. And see how much, just get the 80 in from last year. Let's see where we're sitting. And we might be able
that'll to. That'll be good.
Last year they calculated it different. This year's the first year they did it daily, right? Last year they didn't do it daily.
Last year was the first year that we did receive funding based upon ADA. So it was the year before that they added.
So was last year the first year they measured ADA?
Yes. Last year was the first year we could over-enroll by 3%.
Okay, so we'll leave the that open point open for Tony on that. The next one is to initiate a curriculum review packet for English and Science. I think, is Joy here? Oh, how's that? Is that completed?
So it's not 100% complete because we have a final solution for all standards, but it is in process.
It's in process. How's it looking?
So, and I'll just do the curriculum now, because that's what I was going
to
talk about.
But we can hold off until.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was going to touch on.
Okay. Yeah. I'll hold off on that and probably leave this open. Then.
Yeah.
So. The next item is to make a proposed amendment for our charter for the year 2021. And I don't believe we've done that yet. Have we? We need to get data for that.
We haven't done the proposed amendment. It may be that we would be looking at doing that for the 23-24 school year.
So what was the question?
As far as the amendment for our charter.
Oh, yeah, we started pulling the data.
Is it the 23-24?
It's possible that we could look for something for the 2021 school year. But I think if we did, we would want to take baby steps, and we would consider, all things considered, looking at maybe a class size average of 20 students per class. Mm-hmm. Given that number, then I would probably look to increase or look for an increase in enrollment by about 15 kids over the next 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. possibly increasing to 25 to 30 kids more in the years. You know, as we kind of move forward, but I think we would want to look at baby steps and you know, either that or hold off until 2023-24 and look for that larger increase.
Okay. Is that something you can do as your amendment instead of an increase of 50 or 100 increase as a 20, 40, 50 per year for next 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, but I think we could do that, whatever we felt like we should do for our charter. Again, I think we would look at trying to maintain lower class sizes and be that slower. Mm-hmm.
That's why it seems like a mandatory.
That's coming from the state. Right. So that's higher than we thought.
What is it?
So our average daily membership for last year is 440.98.
It's pretty high.
That's pretty.
Is there a way to see what it is right now this year?
No, they do this fancy spreadsheet and they just post it on the
data statistics. I do know our attendance was better last year than it is this year.
Yeah. So we need a campaign. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Okay, so we'll leave that charter amendment open.
Do we want to change it to the year or leave?
Probably. So change that from the year 2021 to 2023 to 24. And can we get a list of the proposed steps? Mm-hmm. And so, okay, the next item is to have each board member look at the summary page on the MRP. We're actually going through a process to change that now, so I think we'll probably change that. So maybe we'll close this one, and when we're ready for the next, the automated MRP, then we'll open a new item to try to get this. The next item is to send a copy of the format of the GPS plan to Scott.
She sent it.
Oh, you sent it? Okay.
Yeah.
So should we check that out? It should have been closed. Huh?
Yeah, but the next step is just to program, not my programmers, but
our programmers.
I did send it to him, but nothing happened with it at that point. We're still on hold with it.
Talking to
Yeah, so that's what she needs to automate.
Yeah.
Or produce from the database.
And Colin was looking at something as well. It's an idea, isn't
it? Do we want to redirect that? Chris, Rebecca doesn't come, but do we want to close that and open a different one?
We need to close it and then think that we're following that.
I think we should put that on the list of apps.
Yeah, list of apps.
So I'll put that on. Let's close that item. The next one is to have legal review our charter agreement. So we'll leave that open for next time.
Speaking of which, though, I do need to bring that in because I think there are a few board members here that didn't get a chance to sign last time. I need to have signatures on.
Come on. The next is to hold elections for board positions. Do we have any suggestions on how we should do that? I know we...
You should.
So, do we want to propose that in our next board meeting, or how do we want to do that?
We would probably do it next year.
Yeah.
So, I handled that the last time we did something like that. They do have to tell people to just like these meetings. Mm-hmm. So the position for all the ones that we come up, which I think we're overdue on all of them, so they have to all, you could decide if you want to do all of them, or just some of them this time, they have to publicly post the position on our website.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a certain number of days that it has to be posted before you can vote on it.
Okay.
We just look at board rule on that, because it's been a long time, and I don't remember for sure. But as long as it's publicly posted, then
the board
members vote.
So the board votes. So we just take each position one at a time?
Yeah.
One vote.
Yep.
Do you want to, would you want to research on that?
Yeah.
The requirements of what we have to post. And once we have that, we can schedule the votes.
Yep.
Do we need to hold a special board meeting to vote on? Or just?
We did the last one.
At the regular board meeting?
As long as it's publicly posted on our agenda and the positions are publicly posted on our website.
Okay. So we would just go through each position and vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want a replacement, start recruiting. Because we didn't get very many applications last time.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, maybe if we'll look at the requirements, and if we can get them posted before the next board meeting, we'll schedule those. So hold that open. The last item is to have, we want a place to record the future amendments for our charter. The first thing is to increase, isn't that the same as item number six?
Item six was to do the proposed amendment to the charter. But this is to have a place to keep track of things we want to change.
Oh, right, okay. So make a placeholder. Okay, so we need to decide how we're gonna record those and keep track of them. So maybe we can talk to you for.
Probably we need to get something like that.
Yeah.
Could it be an app?
Well, possible. So we'll leave that open too. That's true. Okay, I think that's it for the open items. Let's move on to the director's report. Let's turn that over to Suzanne.
Well, we're putting our MRP together, but as far as things go, I'm trying to think if there's anything new and upcoming and whatever. Just talked briefly, we've got our building that we're looking at. Originally we were leasing it for the first 5 years with the intent to increase the square footage. The building size right now seems to meet our needs, so I don't anticipate the need to increase that square footage at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for the next 5 years. In fact, I don't know that we would. There's still enough room to work with upstairs if we needed to build a couple more rooms up there.
Mm-hmm.
And still have the assembly hall in the center. So that's kind of where we are with the building. We do, I did wonder if we should hire somebody full-time for service, but right now we're just hiring as service jobs. You know, when the building starts falling apart, as it does, then they come in and try to fix the pieces. They have put all the new lighting up in the rooms. It's made a pretty significant difference. If I, look down the hallway at the room that has the lights in and I kind of think, wow, maybe a little much. it's pretty bright, right? Those are yours didn't. What we did is every other room, and so they just popped into every other room and did it so that we could get kind of an idea. But we may want to look at getting more of those fixtures and completing the project, but maybe looking at that. So as far as that goes, lunch, we did get approved to serve breakfast. We were planning on starting to serve breakfast March 1st, this Friday. It'll be our first lunch or breakfast service, and we're just kind of putting those things into place. And we also have been, it's been proposed that we look at serving lunch. And it would be open to the community at large for summer. So that's one of the things we could look to put into place. We just want to make sure that it's going to be the right thing for Vanguard,
mm-hmm.
mostly taking care of our kids, but also making sure it's not a financial burden that's not already in our budget. So
how does that work if you do it during the summer? Do they have a roll count or who?
No, it literally any child can come in and eat a lunch,
just
and they're 100% reimbursed.
Under 18 and under school age, just they have just school programs throughout the summer at other schools.
Yeah.
And
they don't
parks.
Have to sign in or anything. Yeah, you've seen them at other schools and other parks, but this
mm-hmm.
would be catered by Premier, so it would be a hot lunch, and it would be open and free for any child.
Purchases reimbursed. She's been giving me the, we're just finalizing, she's getting the data put into it. Right now, one benefit is she's requesting that her hours, which she would just end her day a little bit earlier, so it was shift, so it, the expense of the hour or the labor
wouldn't increase
with the lunch program, so that would not be an additional cost. And as long as the price for our food and everything, and right now that's, we've calculated from what we pulled, the expense of the food and anything else that goes with it
mm-hmm.
would be less than the reimbursement from the
yeah.
state for the breakfast program. And so it looks like it would give a little bit of an income that would help the deficit of the lunch program is current.
And that is reimbursed based the same criteria as our lunches are.
Mm-hmm.
It is students would give their number, so it would be billed to that student's account, and if the
mm-hmm.
student receives the free lunch or the reduced price, then that would, the same criteria apply for the breakfast.
So basically we'd pretty much come at a break even?
Yeah,
kind of.
Okay.
Right now we're paying extra to serve our kids.
So our lunch program is currently losing money. The breakfast program looks like it would generate a little bit of an income that would help to reduce the deficit a little bit. And the summer lunch program, our preliminary numbers looks like it will generate an income for that, just looking at that alone,
yeah.
that would help to, and we haven't finished all the numbers to see what it does to the whole program overall, how close we come to breaking.
So would you just open your doors and
yep.
whoever comes in? Comes
yeah.
in?
So what, anyway,
yeah. I think our site is listed, it would be listed like
they
sites
post
around.
Calendars
mm-hmm.
available for summer school lunch programs.
Right.
And they list all of the schools and parks that have them, and we would just be listed there. And any child 18 and younger
yeah.
would get a free lunch.
Okay, that sounds.
How are we working with the schedule in the
program? Well,
how does that run?
We're serving between 7:30 and 7:45.
Before school.
Yes. We're hoping it will improve our attendance. They might come early enough to get some breakfast.
That's one of the incentives.
So
the other is because
they can be here 10 more minutes. And
I work with kids on a daily basis that I really don't. I think the only meal they get, or anyway, I don't think a lot of our kids get breakfast. So that's the primary reason, and I hope that helps our attendance at the beginning of the day too.
And the grades.
Yep, because if they've got food on their brains, they might be a little more ready to do the schoolwork. Oh, it was me. Sorry. Okay. And I think as far as the MRP goes, then that would generate the information based upon our grades and our progress and our preparation for testing and so on and so forth. We do have several substitutes on our list right now that are helping to fill the bill. We are moving toward being trained for the new AVID program that we would like to buy into, and that's going to be utilizing several subs. I did request that we attempt to either put together an app or something to have available so we can tap into the community for substitutes to come when we need them. I'm just doing an analysis of HR to make sure, you know, what's our total FTE, make sure we're in compliance with all medical and healthcare requirements. So that's kind of moving forward. And other than that, I don't think I have anything else.
Dates for
to add to
that
I do have a little bit that I mentioned the list to the governance committee last week when we met. I didn't bring it up this time because I haven't sent them out. There are some policies that either need to be created or updated that I'll be running through the governance committee for review, and then submitting to the board for review and approval. We have a few policies that are either required for programs like Title I or just things that have come up in the building that have created questions to say, how should we do this? And we just don't have an existing policy.
Mm-hmm.
so there will be some of those coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Including dress code and uniform.
Oh, and that's something that I mentioned to Grace, thinking I need to talk to Joni and Catherine and College and Career and everybody involved with leadership. Catherine Johnson is taking the leadership department head. We want to get student input on dress code. I think uniform, actually, our dress code is probably set, but our uniform doesn't really look like a uniform. It's not absolutely identifiable that this is uniform, this is not. I think that one piece that we would benefit from is getting student buy-in and support and find out and get some ideas that way. But at the same time, I think we should present to them what are the benefits, why do we have a uniform, and I wondered about tapping into leadership lessons, saying can we interject a lesson or half lesson where they would have information and then take a survey to get some student input and then send it out to parents and get some parent input, because if we are going to make any adjustments to the uniform policy, I think it should happen sooner than later so that the parents could. Anyway, there were a few changes made last year and it was a surprise, and they like to know, and then if we're our buying source to, for them to be able to supply the needs, then I think that we probably want to address that sooner than later. And anyway, it'd be nice to have that uniform that's absolutely identifiable, that you have 10 kids in and one kid's not, it's absolutely identifiable that this one is not.
What about the parent-teacher organization? What are they?
I think that that would be a good place to
that's
send
where we
information.
Have gone the last couple of years, and I think it's good. Often their attendance at meetings is very, very low, so
yeah.
It doesn't give us, I don't believe, a good representation of the families. But I think it's a good place.
I think we would sure
one,
use them,
one platform.
But I think we would still send the survey out through Vanguard saying, parents, this is available. You can also talk to your PTO and give your input there. But that's one of the policies that I think, if we are going to make any changes, that one I would recommend.
And I don't think I have anything more.
And then finance. Do you want to see?
Go ahead.
I did start. We were working on the MRP, but I didn't have access to all of the soft copies. So I did go ahead and print out the finance part is updated. So I did go ahead and print that just so that you can see that for the finance section. I met with Grace today, and we worked through several of the things that have come up that we want to consider for a budget amendment. The goal would be to finalize things with the finance committee by March 15th so that we can get things submitted for the full board review for the March board meeting so that we can have a mid-year update. One of the things we talked about and started projections is to consider summer school and what that would look like, what that expense would be, and how we would pay for that. So we kind of did some calculations, preliminary ones, on what that would look like to run a summer school program.
So these enrollment numbers are accurate?
No, sorry, I didn't get that adjusted, but I was just passed that out for the budget portion. I didn't have access to everybody's data, so on the enrollment, I'm not positive on that. That was as of the October one. I just opened the previous one, did a save as, so I haven't updated that. But for the budget numbers, that's as of the end of January.
That's right.
Any questions on the budget?
Any questions on finance beyond that?
If there's if there's no questions, we'll move on to the governance committee. Don't have a lot to report on that, other than we are in the process of moving to an automated MRP. And as soon as we get to the automated version, the first thing we'd like to do is get everyone, let everyone get set up with the app so we can look at the numbers. We're looking at maybe using some of the current staff, programming staff, to develop some apps, and it will feed into the, and give us real live, up-to-date data that will show on the MRP. So as soon as we get that available, we'll bring that and let everybody see it. we'll go on to the academic, and we'll go to, so just join me and join me. Do you guys want to go ahead and start?
So, did you say the curriculum?
Yeah, what are you, whatever you guys want.
Okay. So, we had our curriculum committee last week. We've been focusing a lot this year on the language arts. So, just briefly talk about some of the things we found on that and why that textbook selection hasn't been closed. It would be super convenient if we could find an Alex for language arts. But Alex is basically a program that's completely aligned to state standards, has every state standard in, and just delivers the high quality interventions to the kids. So there's not anything like that that's been created for language arts. We've been looking to a lot of different places, but one of the things that we have focused on quite a bit, and we've heard this from the schools that we visited who are getting high test scores, is that the language arts scores and the rest of the test scores in the school are kind of like a cyclical, they feed into each other. And so if your kids are low in language arts and then you're going to have low scores in the other areas as well, which we are seeing. So one of the things we've implemented this year was Reading Plus, and we found that our kids are about, on average, 3 grade levels behind. And so until we get that level up, then some of the other things that we want to do with the kids it's not going to be as effective.
So how do we know that they're three levels below?
So Reading Plus, I did a diagnostic with every kid in the school, for every kid. And so the first thing they do is a test to see where they're at, and we got data for that.
So the Reading Plus does a test, or who does it?
Reading Plus. So
is that something we can do on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm. And so Reading Plus, it has the initial diagnostic. And I think Marie passed out some really good, is she here? She's not. Marie did pass out a handout on this last time with information on it. We can send it out again, but they do test like 4 or 5 lessons to see where the kids are at, and then there's benchmark assessments we can give the kids. But we have been focusing heavily on that, and then also the training. So Dorothy Thomas, the language arts department head, and I have attended a literacy institute that just barely finished, and we brought back implementation plan for the strategies that we've given there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was the key ideas there was that literacy cannot only be taught in language arts class. And so literacy is in all the writing projects and everything. And this year, we talked about this in curriculum committee meeting a little bit, how we try to combine projects and say, okay, here's history fair. We're going to have the history teacher do part of it and the language arts teacher do part of it. But the feedback we got from teachers that didn't work very well because there wasn't 100% accountability. And what we found in that training with all the research and data says the kids need to have their regular language arts instruction plus more in other classes. So the language arts teachers shouldn't be taking the history teacher's project and doing it in their class. They should be doing their own projects, and the history teacher needs to do additional projects. And so the history of science teachers and even our math teachers need to get training in these literacy techniques. And it's actually critical that every single teacher in our building is trained in literacy techniques, because they said the literacy is a school-wide problem. And when you have a school-wide problem, you have to take a school-wide approach. So we have an implementation plan for a lot of the strategies. Some of them included monthly data meetings where our teacher, we had grade level meetings in past years, but we haven't this year. They gave us a checklist and said, this is how you do a grade level meeting, and you look at this data, and here's the data the teacher prepares on their own. This is what they bring, and this is how you do it together. So we plan to implement those meetings. but the AVID program. The AVID, yep,
I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know, because we went to the same training. So that AVID program, it's critical. This is what we need. So the one training that Heidi's trying to get set up for the whole school this coming May is that literacy instruction course. And there's one that's like the basic one. And what we saw from that when we went to Las Vegas was exactly what we need for every teacher in the building, not just our language arts. But along with that, with the AVID program, there are special courses in addition to that literacy one where they'll take your science teachers and say, this is how you implement these strategies specifically in a science class. Here's how you implement it in a math class. Here's how you implement it in history class and other classes. So the more training we can get, the better. We've already had several things that have set us up for success with the AVID program. The initial visit to Las Vegas and a team, did we have eight people there or six? We had six people, and they're representative of different areas. We got buy-in there, and we're going to be able to send more people this Friday. We're going to a team meeting with Suzanne and Kathleen and some other people who didn't go. But we're gearing up to have a really big push, and the idea, the way that it's set up, is that we're going to get training once school's out. We're gonna have 2 days of AVID training, whole school, as part of our contract days. And then once they have those strategies, they're gonna write their curriculum based off those strategies. But not just the strategies, we're gonna look at the data and look at our kids. Because one of the things that's been missing from our curriculum preparation process is looking at the kids and the data we have for our kids. Because we're looking at standards, and how am I gonna teach these standards? We need to look at our kids and say, okay, for kids that are at this level, here's how I'm going to teach a standard specialized for them. We already know where they're at. And Dorothy had a really good idea for getting to know where our incoming students are at. She wants to have a parent night ahead of the end of school where we invite parents to come in for an hour or two. And while the parents are learning about, you know, Reading Plus and why it's so important to get their kids on that, we're going to be testing the kids in the lab so that before school's even out this year, we know where our incoming seventh graders are going to be for next year. So that when she makes her lesson plans or whoever's in seventh grade, they can be specific and individualized. So we've learned a lot this year about what our problem actually is. And the solution hasn't been as easy as we would have liked it to be. And with science, then that one's a sticky one too. We looked into programs. There's not a Reading Plus even for science. And the program that we were looking at, we found, wasn't even an intervention program. It was a full curriculum, and our teachers are wanting to move forward with some storylines that have been created by the people who created the science standards. And they're actually revisiting the science standards right now, and they're going to change them and update them. But they want to use the lessons that the Utah teachers have created to match the standards exactly, but the Utah standards. So we're looking at going that route for next year. I wish there was a computer-based something for science that would let us know where the kids are at. Because right now I can look up on Reading Plus, I can see where we're at. I know we count for science, and it's challenging. But we're going to keep looking. We'll close that out until our scores are where we want them to be. We'll keep looking.
Good.
Hey, Maya and I actually wanted to go ahead and go over a little bit with our seniors graduating and our credit recovery and our online classes and attendance, because it all kind of goes together. I was working through my seniors to make sure that they're in line to graduate, and I found, I'm missing my mouse, it's not working. Something's wrong with it. Anyway, as I was looking through it, I have this report, and I'm just noticing that one of the data points are not accurate, but if you look at the graduation summary, which is kind of on the right near the top, then the number of students that we have that are meeting graduation requirements is 23 out of 51, which is 45%. Now, this includes our seniors plus the early graduates. So I was looking into it, you know, what is it that they need? We have 9 out of 28. So of the 28, it should have been the 23, and I don't know why they're not the same number, but 9 of them need credit recovery, 4 need some additional online classes, and I'm thinking that most of those ones are actually students that are trying to graduate early. We have six of them that need packets with the teacher completed, PE and music, and then five waiting on paperwork, and then need course added, there's 19. And so I have been working through each of them. I don't believe there's any of them that still need the course added at this point, but we have quite a few students needing the credit recovery. And we've been going through those, and Colin has not only been helping us put together a program for our credit recovery to help the students to get through it, and we're going to create a system to make sure that we're not waiting until they're seniors to make up all their credits since ninth grade.
Credit recovery means they fail the class, then you can repeat it or do something.
Yeah, either repeat it or, And there, we had a couple of them that did some credit replacement where they could take the class over and replace their grade, but most of them are just looking at doing some makeup credit because they don't, some of them don't have room in their schedule. We didn't get it done ahead of time. Also, every student needs to pass the civics exam. It says there's only one, but there's actually every student that's planning on graduating, but two, which are actually our early graduates, have all completed the civics exam now. But as I was looking at the credit recovery and the number of students that have failed classes, I started looking at some of our attendance because we have a lot of our seniors that are at risk of not graduating, being a dropout. And as I was looking at the attendance, I realized we needed to track it better. And so I've worked with the secretaries in the office and set up procedures. So now they're contacting parents every day, every period. And it's kind of, it's taken a full-time position to do that job. But one of the feedback points that I got from her is that she says as she's going through it and contacting parents, she's starting to notice, hey, this kid's absent a lot. And then those get referred to me. As soon as someone is looking at that data and understanding it, then I start to get notified of students that are going to need some help at risk. And we're also setting up our student success program to reach some of those at-risk students and making sure they're getting the support they need. And you see on the college and career planning, this is what's going to be feeding our scheduling for next year. And of the 455 students, we have 11 of them that have their GPS that's 10 or 11 that's been reviewed. And we have actually more than that now, but it's, as we're going through it, it's kind of a slow process getting that done. And that's where the GPS automation would be really helpful. But it is slowly happening, but it's pushing it. I don't know how to get it all done before the end of the school year. But I think...
How many people do you have reviewing them?
Just Catherine's reviewing it a little bit on the side, and then I'm reviewing it. But then even like today, I've got new... because we're looking at our enrollment and looking at some of our early graduates, and so those seniors, I'm kind of putting those on the top right now, spending most of my time doing the seniors. So as far as doing the course requests based on our CCRPs and GPS plans, it's, we're doing a couple a week is all it's getting to right now.
So we probably need to get more resources in there.
Yeah. And I wondered about pulling Andrea to have her help me start doing some of that, but it's been, I feel like it's been really valuable having her doing that attendance calling and starting to see those kids. And she says that she's actually starting to get parents calling in and excusing absences, but she's also been reporting why students are absent. And we have a handful of students that are failing because they're being pulled to babysit or different things. And so we're gonna have to, you know, schedule some meetings with parents to figure out what to do to help that student to be successful in school. That's all that I have, unless there's any questions.
Have a question? Are we making sure that we help the students that are graduating go all the way to finish, like applying for the graduation with the proper forms and getting a hold of, like if they're graduating from Snow or SLCC?
Yeah, and we did have that senior day.
Because I know there's like deadlines that you have to meet
right.
To train those forms.
We did have that senior day, and we had the CCRP forms, and it was actually, we had about a 50% turnout, so not all of our seniors showed up. In fact, the ones that we wanted the most were those that needed credit recovery, and we had two or three show up that needed the credit recovery, so I have to pull those kids in. I actually pulled a bunch of them in Monday, and then tomorrow morning I'm going to be pulling them again. I told them they had to tell today to get some of the stuff done.
Okay. I'm just wondering how we're catching
the follow through.
Yeah, the follow through.
And I think that Avid elective, as we go through that program, that'll help us for next year. Right now, that's what I'm saying, is that's what I'm focusing my time on, is making sure those seniors are getting it done. We had that senior day. Most of the students spent their time on the FAFSA. And so none of the other paperwork things that I had on the agenda got done.
Yeah.
And I think I had two people complete the paperwork.
Yeah, and so what I'm worried about is if they don't get their graduation applications, and are they even going to let them graduate?
From the college?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. And yeah, we need, I don't know how to get the resources or whatever I need to make sure that we are getting all of that done.
I mean, that's the question Grace is asking, but how do the kids know if they're set up to graduate through slick or through snow?
Right.
And the process is
through the student
GPS plans.
Or do they have to go directly to slick to do it?
How
do they know?
They do have to apply for graduation through slick, and the student themselves needs to do it, the families need to do it, or they can sit with our staff and log on to their slick account and apply for that.
Do we, or can we, tell if they can graduate?
Yeah, it's based
off
their GPS.
So can they come to
Joni
and they can say, am I set up to graduate from SLIC this year with my associates, or do they need to go to SLIC and do that?
The SLIC has to approve the program that they're in, but as long as they know on their GPS plans that they have, most kids aren't going for the associates. Most of them are doing the Gen Ed certificate, so either SNOW or SLIC, and those, you know, the GPS plans should be able to identify that. But to get the approval for graduation, they do need to apply through Salt Lake Community College.
So we give the students the resources to do it, but like you said, someone needs to, on some of these kids, it's like, okay, we tell them, did you do it? But then we need to sit down with them and go through the process and help them.
Do we have an instruction sheet that tells them how to do that? Because I know that
I have
my
created
student,
some, and they're on the website, and I had planned on going over that in that senior day.
Which website? Is it our website?
Our website, yeah. It's in the college and career section under the CCRP.
I know a lot of the kids are not knowing, they're a little bit lost.
Yeah. Yeah, and
as
I was actually hoping
to
go over that in that senior day, but like I said, most of the time was spent on FAFSA, and I almost feel like I want to do another senior day because I don't feel like, I feel like that was important and it helped a lot of students, but there were some students that got there and they're like, oh, we're only doing FAFSA, and so then they left.
Well, even if you
and
had
I wasn't
some
able
of,
to help them.
Some sort of email that you send out to your seniors that said something like,
I laugh just because I send out a lot of emails and I don't get a lot of
response. Well, something really, really basic.
Yeah.
So
here's your checklist.
Step one, did you apply for SNOW College?
Go to this link
to
your instructions on how to do it.
Two, are you graduating from SLCC as well? Go to this.
And that's kind of on the CCRP. Maybe I can go over it with you and try to make it a little better.
So maybe the kids just don't know where to go to get that information.
Yeah.
Doesn't it almost seem like the seniors should have a separate, I don't know if it's a
leadership
class or something, but
that,
once a week
what
they
Avid
meet
elective
on their,
will do
on their graduation plans and making sure they're up. It seems like they either need to frequently meet with the counselor or have some kind of leadership class.
At least once a month.
Yeah, I don't think it's just I would like to have another class. I think it's a mandatory. We must.
Our seniors need to
prepare them. We must have at least one more senior night.
And the ones that are graduating now,
and I
preferably
want the
night.
Okay.
We have to make sure that they're getting all their forms in, because it would be a shame to not graduate just because you didn't fill out a form.
Not only
that, I didn't realize with my own son, because, we just got on the SLIC site, we applied for graduation, went through the process, I called them, find out what to do, went through the process partially so that we could kind of get the situation going.
Yeah.
But then I received the email on the senior day, and then she did provide links on there. Here's, if you're going to graduate from SNOW, click on this link, other, if you're going to graduate from SLIC here. If you want to apply to WOC, it's a whole separate application.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't realize it.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of parents
we were
parents.
So I got on and had him apply to walk, and it was a real quick, simple, easy thing. But
what's the process right now for seniors to get that information? They're supposed to just go.
They have an email right now that Heidi sent out to all parents and students that are graduating.
I've also
that
been
have those links for snow, slick, and for graduation and walking and whatnot.
I think we're going to need to have another senior assembly once a month or so. An after-school senior day.
Yeah.
And maybe I need to pull them from leadership once a month and
yeah.
do something just to have a senior time.
Your graduation application is actually late on one of them because you had to fill it out in October. But you've got a dead cutoff somewhere that
Petra came in.
Did it say October to April?
No, it was October. The cutoff, unless you want to pay a late fee.
Right.
So your cutoff, the application to graduate
for
is
snow.
In October.
For snow?
I think it was snow.
Snow was the one. Okay. Slick is
slick,
like April.
Slick is just got a big window for graduation.
Okay. So
yeah, and
that's
snow
that's
that
something
is.
That we need to deal with on kids because we've got a lot of kids to graduate with their certificates. Right?
Yeah, and Heidi has met with them. She says that there are some that she sent the information to, and it's like you said, sent out an email. I actually don't get a lot of response through email, and I don't know if it's because the school sends out so many emails that parents don't look at them anymore,
mm-hmm.
or what. But I'm not sure how to get the information out there without. But even sending out texts, personal texts,
mm-hmm.
I still don't get responses.
I pay more attention to texts that say go see your email for this urgent message about your student's graduation.
And we have done that as well.
Yeah.
We've done that. Check your email for this, and maybe parents are looking at it and they're just busy and they kind of forget, which is why I think we need to make sure we offer that support at the school.
But that's one thing is I want everybody to check off each student to say, they figure all their
applications
and all their stuff.
I have a checklist to verify that everything's getting done.
But I like that idea because I've never given you information that Tyler's applied and done this and done
that's,
that.
Yeah, and I was actually
so
going through that process.
Better.
Like I said, so that senior day, I had two students that I could check off.
Yeah.
And I felt like it wasn't a waste, but it didn't meet the goal that I had planned for the day.
Yeah. It was actually very helpful. We just need more time and more help.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it actually, we better make sure that every one of our seniors that are planning on graduating are checked off as far as filling out all the forms that they need to graduate.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've got a spreadsheet for it, and I've got a few kids checked off, but I agree. And so I think, like you said, the next step is probably to have that senior night, invite parents and, tell them it's mandatory this information and the stuff gets done.
Yeah, and I would just really quickly even check deadlines as far as slick and snow to where as soon as you pass this deadline, you can't graduate. You have to wait till the next year.
Okay.
The snow one, I just barely pulled up. To register to walk, the deadline is March 23rd.
And they just moved it to
graduation
day. The day before slips.
What's the last day to apply? Did it say, or do you want to?
The last day to apply for graduation did pass. I remember when Petra was here. It seems like it probably was, but she, because we applied when she was here, she met with a whole bunch of snow students graduating from snow.
One.
And so she helped us to, and then we didn't pay.
I thought you still could. You just
have
to pay
a
late
fee. We didn't pay the late fee. I just paid the regular fee.
We barely signed up with Carol on Monday, or last Monday. We had to pay the late fee to sign up.
But you were able to do it.
But there was a problem. We had to call Snow, and she was going to come back the following Monday, which was yesterday, and she didn't call Snow. When was that Sunday? Was that Friday? That was Friday.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she was able to sign up for the graduation, but I know that there's a hard deadline where they won't even let you do it with a late fee that we better pay attention to.
Yeah. And I think even if I could get, if I had some more resources to help me even with some of that, making sure that we're meeting with every student, and because it is taking I think if we did the Avid elective and some of that, that's going to take actually a huge burden. And it'll be every year, all year long. That's going to, I think that's the answer, but for this year,
for the seniors.
We're kind of behind, yeah. Not just the seniors, but every student. But by the time they get to a senior, we're not here. We don't have students with 5 missing classes to graduate.
Okay, is that everything? I think that's the end of our agenda, unless there are any other comments. So does this mean we have 51 students graduating this year?
I need to double check my numbers. I'm not sure these numbers.
How many graduated last year?
69. I was thinking it was in the 60s.
We should
get
keep
that
track
numbers.
Of that. We should know that.
We should get those numbers again, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Are we going down?
Seniors and 59 juniors.
It was a smaller class.
Some of the juniors graduated.
Yeah, some of them are graduating.
Did they they graduated early?
Yes.
Okay.
That's probably about right. We have probably about six or seven early graduates.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have a handful of early graduates, so that's it should be right, but
okay.
I didn't notice a few other numbers.
I think there were a few other early graduates, potential early graduates.
At some point, we have to have around 75 or 80.
Or we'll have 100 in a couple of years.
I wonder why it is lower in this next 2 years.
In our 10th grade class, we have nearly 100
kids. 100 grade kids.
Wow.
Good.
So we've got to get this worked out.
Yep.
So,
yeah. The reason 12th grade is so small is because we got a lot of kids.
Okay. That's what happened.
Okay. We have a motion to close.
Motion to close.
All in favor of closing the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?